I want to give you a shout out, Shefta, for coming tonight. As all the shiurim this summer of the Swiss Rapush Lema, Chaim Elazar Rachaleya, who is the one who has Mayased these night, these summer shiurim, and he started that. So, you need to report Lema. The learning should be a Swiss for Chaim Elazar Ben Rachaleya.
All right, so thank you to all of you. It's a pleasure to be here again. I was here last year. I had such a nice time. It was such a special opportunity to learn Torah together. So why not? Let's do it again. And I thank Rabbi Leibowitz. I know he's not here, but he is actually the one that reached out to me. He and I have a wonderful relationship, and it's a pleasure to be back in his shul. My understanding is he's still around there in cyberspace, right? He's there somewhere. And once again, mazel tov to all of you who are sharing in the siyum this evening. As was mentioned, I was asked to dedicate this evening's Dibrei Torah to a refuah shleima to Rav Luzi, and I hope that our Dibrei Torah this evening will be a schus for his refuah, and I hope that all of his askus, the Tzarkin Sibur, and his beautiful kehila will be something that will stand for him, that will be a schus for him as well. And along those lines, in line with that theme, I was asked to talk this evening a little bit Dibrei Hashkafa, a little bit Dibrei Halacha, about Inyani Tfila. As I know, I heard that that the Rav was talking the other day about trying to do some kind of tikkunim in our tefillah. Apparently, what he spoke about was making sure that cell phones are something that are kept out of the Beis HaKnesses. So I was told not to speak about that, but to focus on other aspects. I think he covered everything there is to say about that issue. But there's a whole lot more to talk about when we focus on the issue of tefillah. So the Gemara writes that Tfilos avos tikkun. When we talk about tefillah in general, this is something that dates back all the way to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's something that, as the Rashi, the Midrashim tell us on Chumash, is something that goes all the way back to the avos, which means that it's something that's extremely significant. It's something that is very, very important to us. So much so, the Gemara says that there are dalet dvarim tzrichim chizuk tamid. There are four aspects of life that always need to be reinforced. Four aspects of our lives that we always need to think about, that we always need to work on. And as good as we are, then we always need to refocus our attention. Number one, says the Gemara, is Torah. Talmud Torah, we always have to refocus our attention, re-energize ourselves to want to be involved in Talmud Torah even further. Number two, says the Gemara, is Tefillah. As much as we have a Kavanah and Tefillah, and as focused as we may be, there's always room for improvement when it comes to Tefillah. And that is why, although we are focusing particularly on tefillah now, it's something that really is a lifelong practice. It's something that we always have the opportunity to work on and to think about. So much so, there's a beautiful Gemara Maseches Brachos, where the Gemara describes the experience of tefillah as something which is min hadvar ma'amdim meruma shel olam. It's like transcendental. It's something that's otherworldly. And yet, regrettably, says the Gemara, b'nei adam mezalzel lecho. People are really not careful about it. People are treating tefillah as a mundane aspect of life. And that is something that the Gemara decries there. So listening to a beautiful Tanya de Eliyahu, where we have a story about Sancheirib, when he came and he was Hikif Es Yerushalayim, which is a very appropriate thing to talk about now in the middle of the 3 weeks, when Sancheirib came and surrounded, laid siege on Yerushalayim, Amad Chizkiyo HaMelech B'tefillah L'fnei HaKadosh Baruch. Chizkiyo stood up and he was trying to get the attention of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should save Yerushalayim. V'nira ka'adam ha'medaber im chaveiro, said the Tana Devei Eliyahu, Chizkiyo ha'melech, in this conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam, it was casual. It was almost as if he was talking to his friend. And the same way he would approach his friend is the way he approached the Ribbono Shel Olam at Tfilah. Now some would look at that and say, you have such a nice warm relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you talk to him like you talk to your friend, but obviously that's never an appropriate thing to do. So the Gemara, so the Tana Devei Eliyahu writes, Nachal Ruach Elokim al Yeshaya HaNavi v'yamar lo. The Navi Yeshaya has a Nebuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Yeshaya HaNavi and he says, Adam Shemadaber Lefnei Mi Shegadol Mimenu Basar Adam. Anyone here ever been to court before? Traffic tickets, speeding ticket, anything? Nobody? Wow, a bunch of tzaddikim here. Ba'am Yechulam tzaddikim. I once, what?
Get a lawyer.
Okay, he's a smart man. So I once had to go to court, and it was for literally nothing. I had nothing to be afraid of. I had no points on my license. I was just told, why should you have a record of this ticket? You may as well just go and take care of it. It was an error. So I said, fine. I was standing there. I was so afraid. You know, what am I afraid of? Worst comes to worst, I plead guilty on the ticket. I pay $100, and I move on with life like nothing happened. But yet, You're so nervous till you're called up, till it's your turn. Why is that? Because it's lifnei misha gavamimanda, because you're standing in front of someone who has more authority than you have. And that is something that should put us in a certain frame of mind. Writes the Tana de Belio, when you stand lifnei misha gavamimanda, when you stand in front of a human being who has more of an authoritative position than you have, martia kol gufo mizdazen egorav, we begin to palpitate and we're quivering and we're nervous and we don't know what's going to be and we're concerned about what the outcome is going to be from this conversation. Says the Tana de Be'elio, we have an opportunity to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Melech Malchei Amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to treat it accordingly. We have to realize this is an entity that has far more authority than anyone we've ever experienced or encountered in our lives. And therefore, Tana de Be'elio tells us that in some way Hizkiyahu HaMelech was punished for the way that he approached and encountered and engaged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's known about the Divrei Chaim, who was the first Sanzerot. So it's known that the Divrei Chaim in the early 1800s, before every tefillah, used to go into a private Smedrash, before he came in to join the rest of the tefillah. Finally, one of the Chassidim asked him, what are you going into your private Smedrash? What are you doing there? And he said, I offer a precursory tefillah. Before he offered the real tefillah, together with everyone else, I offer an introductory tefillah. And what is that? I said the following, Yehi Ratzon, may it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I should have the ability to have kavanah in the tefillah that I'm about to daven. It's not something that comes naturally to people. It's not something that just happens automatically. It's not that we open up a siddur and suddenly we have the ability to tap into the indescribable power that a siddur holds within it. It's not always that way. And therefore, the Sanzerov felt it was important for him to invest in himself before offering every tefillah to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu a preliminary tefillah, which was that he should have the ability to realize the potency, the effectiveness, and the unbelievable experience of what tefillah is. We know in Parshas Vayeshanan, the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted nothing more than to be given access and entry into the land of Eretz Yisrael. How many tefillahs did he offer?
515.
The Gemara says the gematria of Tav Kuf Tesvav, 515, which is also the gematria of Vayeshanan. Very good. So the Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu offers 550 tefillos. We don't know exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu said in each of the tefillos. We don't know exactly what the conversation was. But in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Tosef, Rav, that's it, no more. Why no more? Because the understanding is, if you were to offer another tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have had no choice but to accept the tefillah. Yeah?
There's one more reason.
Yeah. Right. So those are additional reasons. But the question is here, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu stop me in the middle of tefillah? Isn't tefillah so beautiful? And the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no for whatever reason. Maybe the reason you're giving, maybe other reasons the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have had the ability to offer one more tefillah, then there would have been no way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop him, which is why Parshas told us when we're told, Vayetar Yitzchak Lenochach Ishto, that Yitzchak offers a tefillah, Lenochach Ishto, which means right opposite his wife, the whole discussion in the Gemara, why did he stand opposite his wife? What was the reason for both of them to be davening near each other, opposite each other? But the reason why it's Vayetar, says the Gemara, is because, are you okay? The reason it says Vayetar is because, Kemo Atar, says the Gemara, it's just like a pitchfork. Just like when a farmer takes a pitchfork and flips all the tua upside down on its side, on its front, on its back, so too we have the ability through the experience of tefillah to take the gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and flip it from what it was supposed to be to what it ends up going to be in the future. So it's interesting. I think it said in the name of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. I don't remember. I didn't have a chance to look it up today. But Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, I think, was fond of saying over the following. Our three times in Chumash, it's not exactly accurate, it's not really four times in Chumash, but we'll use Kriyana. It's not Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's problem. Rashi says there are three times where it says it. So he's just quoting Rashi. The truth is, there's a fourth. You have to figure out why the fourth is not part of this list, but Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is really quoting what Rashi himself tells us. And there are three times in Chumash where it says the words Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and all three times it means the exact same thing. What are the three experiences? Number one, Noach was going into the Teva. And it says that when did Noach enter the Teva? The Etzem Hayom Hazeh means in broad daylight, right in the middle of the day when everyone was watching, Noach goes into the Teva. What's the significance of the Etzem Hayom Hazeh? We're going to hold questions for a minute. Four times, as I said, four times. I said three, but maybe there are four. That's what I mentioned before. We're going to leave off the fourth for now. You're right. You're correct. Thank you for listening. You know, in my shul, I don't have people that listen to the folks. Right? So here you have the Etzem Hayom Hazeh the first time. What?
You're not sharing.
Okay, I'll have to come back. So the Etzem Hayom Hazeh the first time is by Noah. What does it say by Noah? It says that in the middle of the day, in broad daylight, Noah walks into the table. What's the significance of the middle of the day? Who cares if he went in at night, during the day, in the morning? So the answer is, Rashi and Pumish tells us the reason why it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh is, even though Noah had many critics and many adversaries, and there were many who decided they were going to make a human blockade to stop Noah and his family from going to the table to make sure this is not going to happen, after the Baruch Hu said, with everything you're going to naturally try to do, I'm going to bring Noah into the table. Against all the critics, against all the blockades, against everything, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh in broad daylight. I'm not going to sneak him in. I'm going to walk him into the table when all of you are watching, and you're going to have nothing to do to stop it. Second time we find it, as you very correctly mentioned, is by the Mila of Avraham Avinu. But we're going to leave that aside for now, because that's not what Rashi and Chumash quotes. The second time Rashi says is by Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's the significance that Bal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, right in the middle of broad daylight, the middle of the day? The answer is there again, because you have an army there. The Egyptian army, the most powerful country in the world at the time. And you have all them standing there with their heavy artillery, and you have a whole army that's there with special forces, and the most elite and well-trained units are there. And all of them are going to stand in a blockade and stop the Jewish people from leaving Mitzrayim. They don't want them to leave. They want us to continue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, with everything you're going to naturally try to do, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, I'm going to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim in the middle of the day while everyone's watching. You're not going to be able to do a thing to stop it. As much as you may plan, as much as you may want, nothing's going to help. I'm going to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Finally, the third time we have it in Chumash, or as you said, the fourth time we find it, is by Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it say there? What? When Moshe Rabbeinu died, it says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. He ended his life in broad daylight. Now, that doesn't fit. Rashi says, why did he do that? To show everybody, as much as you're going to try to stop it, you're not going to be able to. Well, what can we possibly do to stop it? We don't have the ability to stop people from dying as much as we would like to. We don't have the ability to do that. So what does it mean, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh there? So Rav Chaim Shalevitz explained, the same way you can have a human blockade stand in the way to stop Noah from going to the Teva. And the same way you can have a blockade standing in the way to stop Klal Yisrael from leaving Mitzrayim, you can also have a blockade of human beings who are going to offer a tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu would not have died. Moshe Rabbeinu would not have died. That's astounding. That means that you can put that on par with the same kind of human intervention that we have for anything else that we experience in life. And that really is something that is expressed in the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's about to die, the Medrash writes that Bikshu, Lo Bikshu al Avraham im Likanis La'aretz, Moshe Rabbeinu was angry at the Jewish people. He said, you couldn't have offered a tefillah on my behalf. I offered a tefillah when you were in trouble in the Midbar. Now all of you are watching me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your privilege is being taken away. You're not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. And everybody just sits there. Nobody davens, nobody does anything. Moshe Rabbeinu has a time on the Jewish people, and he says, how do you all just ignore my faith? How does nobody here feel the need to offer a tefillah on my behalf? And the understanding of that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have actually accepted it. The Ribono Shel Olam would never have allowed for Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah and the tefillah of the Jewish people on his behalf to have been ignored. Let me just close the Dibrei Hashkafa with one final point, and that is, I guess, a few final points, and those are the following. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Lamed Beis, and much of the Sefer's Brachos talks about all of the framework of tefillah as we know it today. So the Gemara says in Brachos, Gedola tefillah yosem min akarbanos. We generally assume that we have second best. We used to have a Beis HaMikdash, we used to have karbanos. Oh, okay, we're left with the Beis HaKnesses and tefillah. So as the Gemara notes, tefillah is even more potent, it's even more powerful than a karban. How so? The Shadar HaKadosh writes, if you compare and contrast the halachos that govern a karban, you'll understand why it is that tefillah is even more powerful than karbanos. Number one, says the Shalah, because a karban has a zman mugbal. A karban has a start time and an end time. You're not allowed to bring a carbon before the Tamid Shel Shachar. No carbonos in the afternoon after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So what happens? Person in the middle of the night can't sleep. It's 12 o'clock at night, and he feels so connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he's living in the old city in Yerushalayim. He walks into the Beis HaMikdash. Sorry, you can't bring your carbon. You can feel as connected as you want. There's nothing to do. You have to wait till tomorrow morning. But anyway, until tomorrow morning, I love the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to bring a carbon. The answer is, well, there's rules and regulations that govern when we're allowed to bring a carbon, and you are unfortunately are outside of that. A tefillah, writes the Shabbat, person who feels connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam can offer a tefillah any time of day or night, whenever you want. There's no start time, there's no end time. The person always has the ability to choose voluntarily to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any time that they want. Number two, when we talk about karbanos, for most of us who are non-Kohanim, you need to have a shliach who's going to stand as your proxy to offer the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. When we talk about a tefillah, it doesn't work that way. When you talk about a tefillah, I can directly connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu without anyone in the way. And that, Reis Hashanah, is number two, why we find that the power of tefillah is even more potent than the power of a carbon. Number three, he says, by karbanos we're told that there's an issur of offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas by tefillah, there is no makom mugbal. We don't say you're only allowed to offer a tefillah here, and there's no other place where you can daven. A person has the right to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to offer a tefillah at any time and in any place as well. And therefore, for all those reasons and a few more, the Shadah HaKadosh writes, you find that when the Gemara makes that statement, that Gedolah Tefillah Yosef and HaKarbanos is not just a euphemism, it's not just a way of speaking, it's actually the truth. If you look at the halachas that govern each of these bodies of karbanos and tefillah, and you compare them to each other, you see that in fact tefillah is far more powerful than the ability of even a karban in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is a very, very important idea to take with us. There's a story I read a number of years ago about the great Rosh Hashiva of Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, that he writes, I think he grew up in Bialystok, and he said he was a young child outside when he was 5 or 6 years old playing with his friends. And he said that his father came to wherever they were playing together, and he told him, you know, we just got word that the Chafetz Chaim is going to pass through our town today. He's on his way to he's going to get out at the train station, he's going to spend a few minutes talking to everybody, then he's going to go back on the next train to get to where he needs to go. So I'm going to leave at 11 o'clock to go meet the train where the Chafetz Chaim is coming in. Make sure you come with me. He said, I was a little kid, I was playing with my friends. What do I know from the Chafetz Chaim? What do I care about the Chafetz Chaim? He said, he laughed at his father, he just kept playing in the sandbox with his friends. He said, an hour goes by, his father comes again. Now it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and he says, you know, only 2 hours till I go to the train station, till I meet the Chafetz Chaim. I hope you're going to come with me. He said, I was still playing with my friends, wasn't paying attention. My father came back at 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, he says, listen, Moshe Shmuel, I'm on my way to go meet the Chafetz Chaim. I hope you're going to join me. But Moshe Shmuel Shapiro said, he ended up staying with his friends. He did listen to his father. And they played in the sandbox. When he was in his 90s, he was still bemoaning the fact that he missed the opportunity to experience a few moments seeing the face of the Chafetz Chaim. What a lost opportunity. And why did he miss it? Because he was playing in the sandbox with his friends. And he later thought about it and he said, how often do I still do the same in my life now? Where I have an opportunity to connect very deeply with a profound experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why do I miss it? Because I'm playing in the sandbox with my friends. So I'm not playing in the sand. I'm not 5 years old anymore. I'm doing other things. I'm playing on my phone like the Rav spoke about a few days ago. I'm doing other things that are distracting me from this phenomenal opportunity that I'm given to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a close proximity. But I'm choosing not to do so because I'd rather stay in the sandbox. And he said he bemoaned this for the rest of his life, and he begged his Talmidim, don't be like I was. Don't allow yourself when you're 90 years old to still feel bad about the fact that you missed a chance to be in the countenance of the Chafetz Chaim. And certainly don't ever hate yourself for a lost experience of potentially being in the presence and the countenance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Just for reasons that are playing in the sandbox, the way adults play in the sandbox. And I always found that to be a profoundly impactful story, a beautiful story. So let's get into a little bit of Dibrei Halacha. And that is, as we know, each day We have three tefillos that we're supposed to offer. There is such a concept as a tefillos nedava, but we're not going to get into that. Now we're talking about the three tefillos that we have an absolute fear to daven every day. I'll say, Mara, there's not a real fear, but got it. Tefillos are for shus. Nowadays, we assume everybody has to daven Marav. That's the bottom line. That's what it is. But that's really an interesting question. Why would you say that Marav is more of a reshus than Shachris and Minhag? Correct. So you're saying because of the Emurim and the Karbanos. That's correct. So you got to flesh that out. You have to think about, that was the play on words, not the right word to use. You have to think about a little further why it is that Marav should be fundamentally different than Shachris and Minhag. You're correct. You're on the right path. So either way, we assume Shachris and Minhag, we have an obligation. We have a chiyuv to daven every day. But each one of them have a specific start time and a specific end time. We know that there's what we refer to as a Zman Tfila. I know it's complicated when you look at all the Tfila charts, not so clear which Zman Tfila do you follow. But you follow someone's Zman Tfila. My father told me many years ago that he remembers the Felt of Shaner, who was a Rav in Flatbush or Borough Park, I don't remember where. But my father said he remembers that the Felt of Shaner Rav told him many years ago that when he opened up his shtiebel in Brooklyn, he told his Valabatim, I can find a justification to daven any time of day that you want. You want to start chapters at 9 o'clock, it's fine. 10 o'clock, it's fine. 11 o'clock, I'll justify it. I'll figure it out. But the minute we start davening, you better be there. I'll figure out how to work it out with that Kodesh Baruch Hu. We can start at this time and at that time, it's fine. But the minute we start davening, you better be there. So we have Zman Tefillah. Zman Tefillah is very important. When a tefillah is allowed to be davened is something that is critical. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Tefillah Siman Kufiyut. What if a person is Baba Derek? What if a person is traveling? And he's Omed B'Makom Torah. So it means you're in the middle of a traffic jam. Something's happening. You're not going to be able to pay attention. You're going to daven a whole Shemona Esrei. It's really not going to come out the way you want it to. Rise to Shulchan Aruch. Either you're not sure that you're going to be able to pay attention, or he's Yarei Shama Yatri Du. You're afraid other people are going to interrupt you, which is natural. When you're traveling with other people, people are going to bump into you. People are going to start talking to you. They're not going to realize. You're not going to be able to have the requisite kavana. Rice the Shulchan Aruch in such a case, we're introduced to this new idea of tefillas habinei, which is some kind of abbreviated tefillah where you have just the shortened musaf of every one of the brachos of Shemona Esrei, and it all is condensed into one paragraph, and this will probably be able to be said much quicker than the Shemona Esrei, and you can probably focus for that amount of time. Shouldn't be a problem. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Now, the Magen Avraham here writes, v'hu adin. And the same halacha applies in Masha Overis. What does it mean in Masha Overis? Not only does the Shulchan Aruch say that you have a right to daven the shortened tefillah if you're traveling or if you think someone's going to interrupt you, but also if you think you're about to bump into the end of the Zman Tefillah, meaning it's 5 minutes before the Shkia, five minutes is not a good example. I don't know how long it takes everyone to daven Shmoneh Esrei. I'll tell you, in my shul, I think I could count on my two hands how many times I've been able to catch Kedusha with the chazans, chazars, hashas. I always tell the people in my shul to daven, not wait for me. Everybody's in a rush. They have to go places. They never wait for me, which is perfect. I don't like to be pressured to daven quickly. I like to say the words. They all went to better yeshivas than I did, so they know how to daven much quicker than I do. I can't say the words so quickly. So it takes me a couple of minutes to daven. Right, see, Magen Avraham. What happens if it takes Schechter 6 minutes to say Shmona Esrei, but he only has 3 minutes left till the Shkia? What do you do? Right, see, Magen Avraham. You say, Tfilas Aminenu. Just say one paragraph. No, even Schechter, who says the word slowly, can figure out how to say one paragraph in 3 minutes. So that's what you do. Right, the Aruch HaShulchan, from here we learn that what? What do you learn? You learned that obviously, if I'm able to start the Shmona Esrei before the Shkia, and I'm going to continue the Shmona Esrei way into the Shkia, the last 5 minutes of my Shmona Esrei are going to be after the Shkia. You don't have a right to daven. Says the Magen Avraham, if you're stuck, you only have 3 minutes of the Shkia, and you're not going to be able to complete the entirety of the Shmona Esrei, you have to go to option B, which is Avinenu. Option A is no longer an option. You cannot daven Shmona Esrei, because half the Shmona Esrei is going to be within the right Zman, half the Shmona Esrei is going to be after the Zman. And that would be something that is not permissible. The truth is, the Magen Avraham writes this all over the place. He writes in the Siman Peites, he writes in the Siman Kuf Yud here, he writes in the Kuf Chaf Dalet again. He writes it not only here, but he says it also by Kriya Shema, that when we say that there's a sub-Sman Kriya Shema, it means not just that you hop the first parsha of Kriya Shema, But you have to say the entirety of Kriya Shema, from beginning to end, the entire Kriya Shema before the end of the Zman. Otherwise, you have not fulfilled your obligation of Kriya Shema or Shemona Esrei. The Magen Avraham then extends it far beyond Tfila. Take, for example, we know that once a month we have a mitzvah to say Kiddush Levana. So we go outside, we say Kiddush Levana. How much is absolutely necessary to say in Kiddush Levana? Anybody know?
Just the bracha.
So let's say somebody is pressed for time, you're running out somewhere, you just have to say Kiddush Levana and move on with your night. The minimum amount of Kiddush Levana you have to say is just the bracha. That's it. Now you have to be careful when you're saying the bracha. Somebody interrupts you and says Shalom Aleichem, something like that. You're not allowed to respond. You're in the middle of a bracha. Same way you're not allowed to respond for other things. I remember when I was a child, I used to say Kiddush Levana with my father every month. And every month, as a little kid, he used to ask me every month after we finished Kiddush Levana, he would ask me the same question. Sean, do you know if you have to stand for Kiddush Levana? I was never sure. What's the answer? How am I supposed to know? So I said, I don't know. So he said, okay, interesting to think about it. Every month, he would ask me the same question. I never knew, what was he getting at? What does he want? Until I was old enough to understand. You know, remember embroidered those huge posters? Amazing. I've never seen them anywhere else in the world. They're amazing. So we used to stand outside, stand the Kiddush Levana. We grew up together. So this Rabbi Weiss was my fourth grade Rebbe. Taught me all these. Your father, okay. Look, if I'm not Rav Schechter, you're not Rav Weiss. It's okay. It's all right. So anyway, so he used to ask me this every month. Do you have to stand for Kiddush Levana? I never understood what's getting until I was old enough to actually understand the words. And I read Hilchos Tzaruch LaNeimer Meulam. It says it in the Kiddush Levana. He just wanted to see, am I actually understanding anything that I'm saying? So that was the bottom line. You have to stand during Kiddush Levana, but the minimum amount of Kiddush Levana to say is the paragraph of the bracha. When you say the bracha, writes the Magen Avraham, you have to be careful that you can see the moon. So what if it's a cloudy night outside? Are you allowed to say Kiddush Levana? No. You have to wait until the sky is clear. Right, so the Magen Avraham, what happens if it's a cloudy night? But I happen to catch a glimpse of the moon. I'm going to start the bracha while it's clear. But I know that there are clouds, and I know that I'm not exactly sure that the moon is going to remain clear for the entire duration of my bracha. Right, so the Magen Avraham, we have no right to say Kiddush Levana. When we say that Kiddush Levana has to be said with a Levana that's clear, it means the entire duration of the bracha, beginning to end, has to be while the moon is clear. But if you anticipate that the moon is going to be covered over by clouds while you are in the middle of reciting a bracha, that will be a problem, and you are not allowed to begin the recitation of the bracha. So this is something that we need to think about. When we talk about Zman Tefillah, it means you have to be able to start and finish the Tefillah within the proper Zman. I once got a call from a doctor. It was a fascinating call, a very overwhelming shaila. I was very happy that at the time that he called, I was unable to pick up the phone because I was davening. And then later on when I called him back, he said, oh, well, now it's not relevant anymore. It's much easier to think about a shayla when it's no longer relevant. But it was very, very fascinating. When you think about it, it's very overwhelming. When you break it down, it's really not so bad. His question was as follows. He was doing an overnight shift. He was a fellow. And he worked through the entire night. He went to an early shacharis in the morning after he was finished his shift, 8 o'clock shacharis. He was so exhausted from staying up the whole night working a shift in the hospital that he just dabbled quickly. The minute Shmona Esrei was over, he didn't stay for Chazaras HaShatz, took off his tefillin, and he went home. But he slept the whole day. Not the whole day. He slept a large part of the day. It was in the winter time. Comes to Mincha Ma'ariv and Shul at whatever, 4:45, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He's going to daven Mincha Ma'ariv and go back to work for the night. Comes to Mincha, he can't believe what he's about to hear. The Gabbai gets up, makes an announcement. Yalla b'yavo. Yalla b'yavo. What's going on? It's Rosh Chodesh today. He was half asleep this morning. So now he has 4 minutes to the Shekhinah. And he now realizes, I didn't say Yalav Yavo in Shacharis. That means, what do I have to do? I have to do a Tashlumin for Shacharis. He didn't say Musaf this morning. He didn't daven Musaf because he didn't know it was Rosh Chodesh. So he has to daven Tashlumin for Shacharis and Musaf. He has to daven Bimcha because it's before the Shekhinah. And he has to say Hallel. He only has 4 minutes. So what's he supposed to do? How do you pray our things? So I was very thankful that I was davening Mincha at the time, and I missed his two phone calls because I had no idea what I would have said. That's a very overwhelming question. What do you do? Hashlumen, Musaf, Halal, Mincha. When you break it down and you actually think about each one by itself, it's not so difficult. It's not so complicated. First one out is?
Mincha.
No. Why? Why would you say Mincha's out? I'm saying which one is automatically out of the equation? Why is that allowed? Why is
that?
Halal is not a tefillah. You make a bracha on halal. It's not even though it's not a
few. It's not one of the few.
Why not? Why is halal not a few? Did it double what?
It's not never changed until the double.
Who said it did it double? What do you mean? Musaf is the same for you. Musaf, I can argue, is even worse because Musaf is a chavas hayom. If I don't have other spada, what's the problem? I still have Musaf right now. So I would argue the first thing that so now you begin to see why it's a little bit overwhelming. There's a lot of different sides to go here. You think about it this way: Halal is automatically out. Why? You're sort of correct because the Gemara says we have 18 days in the year when we have to say halal. Those 18 days are not Rosh Chodesh. The 18 days are Yom Tov. We have a Chiyuv Halal, when it's Isur Malacha, Akrabas Karbanos, different things, but it's nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a Minhag, which is why the Sfarim don't say a bracha on a Halal Rosh Chodesh, because Halal Rosh Chodesh is not even a Meikar Adin, it's a Minhag. So if you're talking about Chiyuvim versus Minhag, Minhag is out the window for sure. That's the first thing out. Not because we don't care about Minhagim, but when a Minhag is up against the Din, against the Chiyuv that you have, obviously the Minhag is the first one out. So Halal is out. Now we're left with Musaf, Mincha, and Tashlumin for Shachar. So what do you do?
Musaf and the Mincha have a Chiyuv right now, and the Mincha have a Chiyuv to say the
Chod. Oh, so you'll say the Musaf and the Mincha are both Chiyuv right now. The Tashlumin for Shachar is for this morning.
And it might not be a Tashlumin. It might only be a hence how you learn how Tashlumin works. It might only be an opportunity to do an Adab.
But the Pashka says that Tashlumin is, I'm supposed to do it. That's the passion of the Pesach that we're supposed to do with Tashlumin when we can. So that's the question. So actually, the Gemara discusses what happens when I have a toss-up in general between Musaf and Mincha. Stop. Somebody has to daven one day. You have to say Musaf and Mincha. The Gemara clearly says, like you said, Tanu Shem and Tavim. Mincha comes first. So what's the Shaila?
Temporary.
So the Tzlach, writes in his Pirushan, the Sefer Brachos, he writes, it's not so passion. Although the Gemara says clearly, it's a Bepurusha Gemara, we paskin that when you have a toss-up between Musaf and Mincha, you daven Mincha first because the Tadr Rishon and Tadr writes it slap. That's only when I have a chance to do both of them. When I have time to daven Mincha, I have time to daven Musaf, so then you do Tadr Rishon and Tadr. What if I only have time for one? Writes it slap. Then maybe I should say that Musaf comes first. He throws in another factor that maybe the Gemara only means in a case where I can do both. The question is, which one do I do first? But when I only have a chance to do one of them, so that's the question. That's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch.
But you're always doing minimum Musaf comes at a certain time.
No, that's exactly the question. That is exactly the question. So this is an interesting issue. That's the question. But here, let me ask you. When is the one time of year that everyone goes against this tomorrow? Every single shul in the world goes against this Gemara one time of year. The Gemara says, when I have Musaf and Mincha, Mincha comes first. What? Not everyone here, Yom Kippur. What's Yom Kippur? Why? We dive in the long chakras. By the time we get to Musaf, it's already time for Mincha. And now, but everybody dives Musaf first. Every dive in Musaf first. Some Rishonim say, everybody goes wrong. It's a pellet. As it says, every shul in the world is doing the wrong thing. You should really daven Mincha first, and then you should daven Musaf. Imagine, they would throw up the whole Yom Kippur. So we don't do that. Others say, no, they give reasons. Others are trying to explain why. Exactly. Shul. So it's interesting that that sometimes we have these kinds of questions. What? Sure. So that's a good question. L'chatchila, are you able to push off a chiyuv that you have now because maybe I'm going to be able to make it up later? Would that be appropriate? That's the question. What?
I thought that's
the question.
My impression was that the shulim is only a din when it was unintentional. But if it was intentional, if I push off this, if I push off this, it's not an intentional.
You didn't realize it was an artist. It's true. Okay, so far back to the story here. So far, the Magen Avraham tells us in a number of places that you have to be able to start and finish a tefillah within the right spot. If you see that you're getting very close to the shkia at the end of the Zman Tefillah Shachris, then you have to make sure that you have enough time to be able to finish the entirety of the Shmona Esrei before the end of the Zman. If all this is true, we run into a major problem. What's the problem? Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos writes the following. What happens in a situation Someone comes in late to shul Friday afternoon. Ever know such people? Once in a while it happens. Someone comes in late to shul Friday afternoon, Erev Shabbos, and the whole tzibur is Makam Shabbos already. So what do you do? I didn't have a mincha yet. So it's not past the shkia. They're Makam Shabbos early. Right? So the whole tzibur is Makam Shabbos. What am I supposed to do? Right? So Shulchan Aruch, you daven a Shabbos take a Shmona Esrei. Even though you have to daven mincha, but you daven a Shabbos Shmona Esrei for mincha because the whole tzibur is Makam Shabbos. Change your pace a little bit. Right to the Chaber, and I want you to finish off the sentence. Right to the Chaber. I walk into shul. I already miss mincha. They started Kabbalah Shabbos, but they're not going to be Mekabel Shabbos till they say Mizmor Shir, whatever it is, till they say Goy B'Shalom. So I walk into shul and I realize it's 3 minutes to Goy B'Shalom, but Shechter needs 5 minutes to down the Shmona Esrei. So I'm going to be able to get through the first half of the Shmona Esrei, and I'm going to get stuck halfway through when the Tzibur is Mekabel Shabbos. Right to Shulchan Aruch, what should you do? What?
The short.
So the Shulchan Aruch should have said, either you say Habineinu, or he should have said option B, which is Daven a Shabbos Shmona Esrei. But what does he say? What does he say? Daven a regular Shmona Esrei. What do you mean Daven a regular Shmona Esrei? You just told me if it's 5 minutes before the Shkia and you don't have time to finish the whole Shmona Esrei, you're not allowed to start. So if here it's going into Shabbos and you don't have enough time to finish the entire weekday Shmona Esrei, how do you even begin? How do you even begin? Why is there no question?
If you can't finish it, you don't start. You can finish it, stay the Shabbos way.
Well, you can't start a Shmona Esrei, then finish off Shabbos.
Why not?
If I'm up to Bilal Hashim, you can't switch in the middle.
Why not?
It doesn't work that way.
You lie down Shabbos.
Shulchan Aruch does not say start weekday, and then when it comes, go to Shalom, switch over to Shabbos.
Your question is, you're using a logic that you use when you can't finish to a case where you can possibly finish.
You can't finish.
You can finish it. You're telling me some other halacha that maybe holds that you can't change it in the middle and you have to do something else.
That's push.
So that doesn't mean in the middle. It's not so push.
Look at the Shulchan Aruch. It says that, you know.
Okay, look. Tony says it. I could. Fine.
No, that's obvious.
It's not obvious. You're telling. If he says it, I'll agree.
Okay.
It's obvious.
That's the first in Shulchan Aruch.
I know it's important. It's obvious.
Okay.
I did a fix.
Okay, so clear enough.
So again, but you're using the logic of one to against the logic.
You have to figure out
two different things. One is when you can't finish it. One is when he says you're not allowed to finish it.
So yeah, they're different. What is the distinction?
Yeah,
right? Well, I'm not sure what it's talking about. Many occasions, you have to figure out. Sometimes you can always make a chiluk. You can always distinguish two things, right? But is it a distinction without a difference, right? It's a question we always need to ask. I can always draw a distinction between two things.
The question is,
does it make a halachic difference in this case?
You're asking a question. I'm usually called to answer it.
Right.
I'm not saying this is the halach.
Correct. So we have to figure out, so what is the halach? Right? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us what the halach is.
But he says,
you start to Shmona Esrei. No, I appreciate it. I'm not pushing
it. I'm working the logic here. You're asking a question to answer. You're saying, well, that doesn't work anything. Okay. Can't blame me for that.
I'm not blaming you. I appreciate it. It's great. So the question is here, how does the Shulchan Aruch say that you should start the weekday Shmona Esrei and just continue on? How can that be? I'll give you another example. Okay, this is a very problematic one.
Say that during Shmona Esrei, the Seber can't possibly be
Let me give you a test case, an interesting test case, okay? And I think this speaks very much to what you're saying. The Balatanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch HaRab, which is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah. Balatanya writes in Shulchan Aruch HaRab, what happens if a person, I'm not focused as much as I should be in the Lagam. Okay, that happens, right? And it's not okay. But it happens, okay? Somebody comes to shul, they start davening mincha. I'm in the middle of Sachlana, then I realize, 1 second. It's 7 o'clock at night, I'm davening mincha. I daven in the office at 1:30. What am I davening mincha? Ever happened to anybody? Right? So you're not paying attention. You daven mincha. What do I do now? Right? So now I'm halfway through the Shmona Esrei. What do I do? What would you say? Stop in the middle?
Yeah.
No.
Finish. Why? I would have said, stop in the middle and say, oh, from here on in is the Tfilas HaDavar. Right? So Balatanya, you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because before you start a Shmona Esrei, you have to decide, is this a Tfilas HaDavar? Is it a Tfilas HaDavar? Is this a Tfilas of weekday or Shabbos? Is this a Tfilas of Mincha or Maariv? Is this Shabbos? You have to figure out before you start, what the entire segment of Shemona Esrei is going to be. Once he determined that, he can switch in the middle. And therefore, the Baal HaTanya writes, even though it would have made a lot of sense to say what you said, which is, halfway through the Shemona Esrei, you realize you made a mistake. Continue on and say, all right, this is for an Adaba. Doesn't work that way. Once I dab in the first half of Shemona Esrei, I'll das a Tfilas Chova, then it means I have to finish off the Shemona Esrei with the same kind of Kavanah. I can't just flip in the middle to make it an Adaba. Similar to what you're saying, a little bit, correct? Thank you. I'm going to ask you a problematic Magen Avraham. This doesn't fit into anything else. The Magen Avraham writes, in much later on, Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avraham writes a very strange case. Let's say somebody is in a place, I mean, it's not so uncommon, but let's say someone's in a place where you don't have a sitter. There's no sitter. I'm davening somewhere, I'm stuck on a hike somewhere, I see it's on Sushkia, I have to daven. I don't have a sitter. So what do I do?
You take your phone.
What do I take? I have a phone. So you don't have a phone, you have no service, right? So you don't know the Shemona Esrei by heart. But if you know the Shemona Esrei by heart, it's a daven by heart. What if you don't know the Shemona Esrei by heart? I know some, the first 5-6 brachas. Once it gets in deep into the long Shina, I don't remember it. Or I'm up to Tzadikim, I can't follow. I don't know the words. Right? So Magen Avraham. So you start dominating the Shemona Esrei, right? And whenever you can't get out, so you stop. What does that mean? How does that work? How does that fit with all the other Magen Avrahams we just said? How can it be that I'm allowed to start a Shemona Esrei, right? When I know from the outset that I'm going to get halfway through the Shemona Esrei and then I'm going to stop because I simply don't know the rest of the words. How can I do that? What? Oh, so what happens if it's 3 minutes before the Shkia? I should say the first half of the Shemona Esrei, then say, I'm an Amos. What can I do? It's too late.
Oh, yes.
But we don't say that. Magen Avraham says, if you see you're right before the Shkia, you're not allowed to start. Mm-hmm. So that's the problematic Magen Avraham. Bir Alacha asked the Kasha. He wants to know. How does that fit with anything else? What?
Just having a Shabbos Shemona Esrei.
Daven a Shabbos, which case? During the week or Shabbos?
Oh, so the question before their baby's Mashiach, just having Shabbos.
Correct. That's what I would have said, but that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says. So that's the question. Why is it that when it comes to Erev Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch doesn't give me that option? Why doesn't he say Daven a Shabbos Shemona Esrei? Why does he say Daven weekday? And it's fine, even if you spill over into Shabbos, it's okay. The answer is very obvious. The answer is, the Gemara says, well, why, in fact, in the first place, do we not daven a weekday Shemona Esrei on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, it's interesting. The Medrash says the reason why we don't is because it's Bakashas Tzerapik. And I'm going to be davening for a parnasa. So I'm going to start crying in the middle of davening when I say that. And Rifa'edu, Shabbos is not a day for a time for crying, and therefore we don't want to talk about personal needs on Shabbos. It's going to lead us to places we shouldn't think about. Okay, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the reason why is because Tircha, Lo Hachafu Rabban. You're correct. The Gemara says the reason why we don't daven 18 brachas on Shabbos is because